For centuries, man has been on top of the food chain. Until now.
They're here! They're coming! God, no!
See, he doesn't understand that we're dealing with a highly intelligent beast.
What is it about those little furry bodies that's so frightening?
Science has agreed that unless something is done and done quickly, man as the dominant species of life on Earth will be extinct within a year. Nature, mad, rampant.
Oh, no, not the beast! Not the beast! Ah! Oh, no, my eyes!
The next victim could be you.
I'm Cootie, and welcome to the food chain, where animals attack, nature runs amok, and mankind is on the menu. But really, isn't mankind always on the menu? I mean, mosquitoes feed on our blood like the little fucking bastards that they are. And ticks attach themselves to our skin, and they eat until they blow up like horrid balloons. And then there's lice. Lice eat the dead skin off of our scalps and make their homes in our hair. Our hair! That's the most public of our private parts. And then it doesn't even stop when we die. You get buried in the dirt, and worms and grubs make their way into your coffin and devour your pallid flesh until there's nothing left but shiny bones and the fading memories of the living. Oh well. Joining me, as always, is my lovely assistant X.
Good intro. It's not morbid at all.
Just dropping some truth bombs. Truth, biology, and science.
Biology is a science.
Well, and I just dropped some bio bombs.
I think you need a drink.
And I think you need to get ready for the dartboard of decision. I've written the names of some smaller animals on the inside sleeves of matchbooks from the Red Rabbit and leaned them vicariously against this spray can of insect repellent. Go ahead and throw that supersonic dart and let's find out which animal our movie is about on this episode.
I don't want to do this.
We always do this, X.
I don't want to puncture an aerosol can.
It's going to be fine.
It's going to explode.
Just throw the fucking dart, okay?
You are so lucky we didn't end up with our eyebrows singed off.
And this episode's killer animal is slugs.
Covered in slime, with eyes on stalks, and vicious teeth. They're in your garden, emerging. Slowly, very, very slowly, they are slugs.
Now let's go ahead and spin the wheel of mutation to find out which external stimuli has turned slugs against their human overlords.
Looks like our winner is, toxic waste.
If you visit American City, you will find it very pretty. Just two things of which you must beware. Don't drink the water and don't breathe the air. Pollution, pollution, we got smog and sewage and mud. Turn on your tap and get hot and cold running crud.
He sounded really happy about the toxic waste.
I am. I'm happy about the toxic waste.
Our special animal expert tonight knows more than a little bit about toxic slugs. He's the host of the Fancy and Friends podcast and co-host of the Midnight Horror Show, whatever the fuck's going on with that podcast. Either way, it's Mark Ball.
So we'll be back after this break with Mark and a delightful piece of slimy cinema from 1988, Slugs.
This is what you want. This is a distress call from across time and space. I am Babs, the automated biological support system for the humanoid known as the Witch. Witch vs. the Doomsday Clock is the weekly chronicle of his fight for survival and entertainment on the junk heap of the future. Episodes are transmitted in 15-minute pulses across the dimensional divide weekly for your listening pleasure. As you will learn, the future is not set in stone, and a flux capacitor is a girl's best friend. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and on your Android device. Come join the rest of the Meat Popsicles in our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/witch vs the doomsday clock. The replicant known as Witch can be found on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr and Instagram by searching for THEWYCH. The Witch vs. the Doomsday Clock is a proud member of the Legion Podcast Network. Now in the words of Lord Humongous,
just walk away, and there will be an end to the horror.
We have returned, and it is slime time as we check out Slugs from 1988.
It all began in a peaceful community, a place that had never known evil, until now. But 20 years ago, in the stillness beneath these waters, something happened. And now, its deadly spawn has been released. Coming up from the depths, out into the light. Slugs. First, they got into the water system. Now they'll get into your system.
Oh my God!
They ooze.
There's something down there that's killing people.
They slime.
We got a new dead body showing up every 10 minutes.
They kill.
We're dealing with a mutant form of slug here, a kind that eats meat.
It has 3 or 4 rows of teeth.
Don't turn on the tap. Don't go in the basement.
No! Get out of here! No, no, no.
Steer clear of the sewers. And whatever you do, don't make out while your parents aren't home. Slugs. It may be the most shocking movie you will ever see. Slugs.
And please welcome this episode's animal expert, Mark Ball. How's it going, Mark?
It's going pretty good. I am not, in fact, an expert on slugs, but I do play one on TV.
And that's why we picked you.
I know a bit about toxic waste. You know, you learn a thing or two when you're a drunken podcaster. But yeah, happy to be here talking about slugs, or as I call it, slugs. It should be all in caps and have 3 exclamation points after it. And fuck this slugs the movie shit. I want slugs.
I think that is how you have to say it.
Do you guys regret inviting me yet? I've had a few drinks, in case people can't tell. Which is exactly the way that you should watch the movie Slugs.
I agree. No, we appreciate that kind of color around here.
Yeah, truly do. Truly
Team garbage people.
Oh, we support the garbage people.
I can't help being a garbage people. I'm sorry. It's just it's the way I'm written.
It's all right. Don't get above your raisin, son. So Slugs, of course, starts out the way it should, in the middle of a fucking lake. Because that's the first thing that you think of when you think about Slugs. There are 2 people out in a boat, and they're fishing. There's a dude and his horrible girlfriend.
She's horrible.
She is horrible.
She stands up and she says, "Fishing is boring." And then she takes off her pants.
No, but nothing boring about that. But
she knows what she's doing.
Right.
Good, because I fucking don't. Because is she going to go swim? Does she want to fuck? What's going? Why? Just suddenly, I don't like fishing, but I really should take off my clothes.
Thankfully, that style of like underwear that she's wearing went out of style. Like in the early '90s, the thong that comes like up to your rib cage looks a little bit like the thing Borat wears at the beach.
That French cut.
Yeah, those are terrible.
They are. They look like they should come with like little loops so you can hook them onto your rib cage or something.
Ladies' like, underwear technology has come a long way in the last 30 years or so.
And we're all thankful for that.
Indeed.
Anyway, Wayne, that's the boyfriend's name, he refuses to stop fishing even though he has a half-naked bimbo behind him. So he gets pulled off the boat, apparently by slugs.
Swimming slugs.
Very strong swimming slugs. Yank him off the boat, you get the obligatory blood fountain in the middle of the lake while she stands there and screams in her panties. And then we get maybe one of the best opening credit segments ever, because a slug crawls across the screen, spells out the word slugs in its slime trail, and then inside the word slugs, you can see nothing but like these weird polarized blue slugs just kind of crawling around and over each other. Why blue? That's the weirdest.
It's super trippy, and there's like the music by the Royal Philharmonic of some fucking buddy playing in the background. It's
we'll talk about that.
The music in this movie is totally bonkers, the choices they made, but I love this opening sequence. It's trippy and sets you up for just a really, and I love that it's called Slugs the Movie, kind of like that really kind of puts you, that if that doesn't tell you what kind of movie you're getting yourself into, then I don't really know what does, because you don't see the movie on the end of titles very often.
Yeah, I started to say, that pretty much just sets you up for the movie, just...
Like, as opposed to Slugs the TV show, or... No?
Well, it was based on a book, and we don't want people confusing reading with watching a film. That's all I can figure.
I'm just amazed that you can make out that was actually slugs writhing around in that font. Like, I had no fucking clue until you said that just now. I just thought, oh, it's just a slimy, like, wiggly thing.
What else would it be? Unless it's Wayne's girlfriend.
You know, I don't overthink these things.
That's true. So when the credits finally end, we meet this creepy guy. Like, not really homeless, but like one step away from it. He's got a dog. He's like got a dog on a rope.
He has a condemned home.
Yeah, the condemned home. He gets knocked over by this cool kid in his cool car who we'll meet later. And he's like, ha ha, fuck you. Hobo, or I don't know, something equally as, you know, cool. I have a really weird definition of cool, so just bear with me on that. Anyway, the dog doesn't even want to be with this guy. The guy has to drag it home by its rope leash around its neck. He gets inside. He's got eviction notices. He hasn't cleaned his house since, I don't know, All in the Family went off the air.
Shot six.
He's also on six. He's also got a small slug problem in his basement.
Is it weird to anybody else that he just throws the pizza down the stairs when he takes a bite out of it and is like, oh, this has gone bad, and he chucks it down the fucking cellar steps?
That's his dumpster, yeah.
Yeah, that's where he keeps it. He keeps all the trash in the basement.
Do people just have trash basements?
Ew, I hope not. God.
I hope not, too. I'm like, maybe this guy knows he's got slugs and he's feeding them or some shit. He's like, here, have some fucking rank-ass pizza that I won't even touch.
Like now, their pets or something.
I felt bad for this guy up until the point that he was mean to the dog, and then I said, fuck this guy, get him slugs.
Right.
Yeah.
Which happens, because apparently the slugs came up from the basement and onto his couch. So he lies down on the couch and then just starts screaming. And we just assume the slugs have gotten him, but, you know, we get the truth in a few minutes.
How do you not see a couch full of slugs?
Have you seen the rest of the fucking house? He throws trash in his basement.
Have you seen the rest of the movie? This is full of people not seeing things they should clearly see.
Good point. Okay, move on.
So now we cut to this posh restaurant. So it's bad hair, it's ugly dresses, and cocaine cheekbones. There are three main couples in this movie. I don't even know the fucking names of one of them, but...
You can't tell them apart. I guess so. This is where I stopped taking notes, is because I couldn't tell the fucking difference between the two main leads. One of them works for, like, the health department, and one of them works for, like, sanitation, and I'm just like, I don't care.
They're both...
Get them slugs.
Yeah, they're both fools for the city. They work for... And that's all I know. They're good friends, but for some reason, their wives have never met until this evening. So there's Mike. Mike is the main guy, and his wife is a high school teacher. And then there's Don, and his wife is his Spanish grandmother. because she's
she was.
She's easily like got 40 years on this dude.
Easily, yeah.
So it's like, oh, abuela, you are so hot.
her old ass is into young guys, I guess.
And then there's this other couple. It's this really skinny guy who looks like Dario Argento, and his wife, who's like the classic kind of like, what was this, 88? Yeah, so classic 80s, like teased out blonde hair. Like I said, cocaine cheekbones, and she's like, this town is so boring. Let's get drunk. Let's all get drunk and fuck. Let me get drunk and fuck. And her husband's all like, I have work in the morning. You're not attractive anymore. But so anyway, that's the setup, is to meet everybody. But Mike is the health inspector, and he has to meet up with the worst sheriff in the world.
Oh my god, he's awful.
He's terrible. And they have to go to the angry guy's house to evict him. Well, they don't have to now because, you know, he's dead. But and I also don't know why Mike has to go.
Because
anyway.
they get that awesome scene where like the that horrible music plays. It sounds like a late 80s, like a Three's Company theme song, kind of, as they're driving away, and it's like kind of wacky. The uptight sheriff is like, "You can't smoke in my car. I'm gonna give you a fine for littering." And yeah, just this doofy guy that works for the health department. That's our hero, apparently. Thanks, right. Movie.
The sheriff is kind of like a principal for an elementary school. Like, that's how he runs this town. Like, it's an elementary school, and he's the principal.
And the music that you're talking about literally sounds like a local newscast just came on the air.
I just think of, like, we're gonna make it on our own.
There's, like, way too many trumpets. It's just horrible. Action 10 News!
Come and knock on my door.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, angry guy with the dog. Guy's dead. He's on the couch. He's been eaten. And his skeleton looks a lot like Margaret Hamilton.
Don't you be mean to Margaret Hamilton.
I'm sorry. I'm just making an observation. Now, dig this. The sheriff, we've already said he's the worst sheriff in the world, he blames raccoons.
Rakens.
Raccoons turned out by the cold. They come out from the hills.
Well,
even the fuck?
The health department guy who knows nothing about animals is like, Sheriff, I don't think so. I don't think it's that.
Sure. Are raccoons carnivores? I don't know if that works. Okay, so anyway, sheriff is an asshole. He's dumb. The next thing, while Mike and his buddy Don are out on the rounds, apparently, they go see this woman, and she's got a sewer problem. Bad smell. Guess what? She's terrible. She's terrible. The sheriff is terrible. Mike and Don are terrible. Everyone in this movie is fucking terrible.
Pretty much.
Yep.
So Don puts on the big yellow paper suit and a respirator, and he goes down into the sewer to investigate what the bad smell could be. Well, first of all, you're in sewer, motherfucker. It's not like people are down there hanging up black ice auto fresheners from the pipes trying to make it smell good. He gives this short speech to Mike about how much methane there is down in the sewers and how it's very dangerous, all this gas is built up. So he goes down into the sewers, and the first thing he does is take off his respirator.
Yeah, this much I know. Methane, like, is a pretty lethal gas that will kill you, and it tends to hang low to the ground, I think, and doesn't really have a smell, and can kill you pretty quick if you're down in these things. This guy really needed to go get, like, a confined space work permit to be going down in here, and there should probably be two of them in case one of them dies. There are all kinds of OSHA violations in this movie that... They should probably be penalized for financially.
Seriously, was OSHA a thing back in 88?
I think so.
OSHA was formed in the 70s during the Carter administration.
All right then.
Ha! Listen to me know things.
Talk about truth bombs.
All right.
Safety first, people. Don't go down and slug sewer, fucking breathing all that methane.
See, and Mark knows about that shit, too. Mark knows about OSHA. So this is just... yeah. And there are so many, like you said, so many workplace violations in this movie. Mike, even Mike Rowe wouldn't touch this shit. So Don's in the sewer with no respirator, and I guess he just decides, I'm going to check this pipe for some reason. And he's got like a crowbar, so he starts pulling stuff out of this pipe. And it looks like, you know, first of all, it's just like, you know, leaves, and then it's some rats, and then I think it's a toupee, like maybe Shatner lives in the same town. So toupee comes out, and then it's something that I think is a cat, and then something that I think is a giraffe's tongue.
I kind of thought one of those was a chicken, but maybe they have big birds where this thing is at, because they kind of mention this later on that, like, dead animals started showing up all over the fucking place. Like, this is kind of a half-assed toss at something that comes in later, sort of. But, yeah. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, chicken in the drain pipe?
Llamas? Maybe llamas?
Llamas.
Let's find a pack of chinchillas down there.
So the last time that Don shoved something up into that pipe...
He's got that sweet hook. He's like, man, I gotta go down in the hole. Better get the hook.
Right?
Makes sense to me.
Well, the right tool for the right job.
Well, something grabs his hook and pulls it up into the pipe, at which point he is just like, you know what?
Fuck it. I'm out.
You are not paying me enough for this shit. I am up out of here. He leaves his respirator behind. So I guess he's got more of those back at the office. I don't know.
Those aren't cheap.
Oh, I'm sure they're not.
A couple $100 he just left on the fucking ground. He's getting rid up for sure.
Well, he works for the city. He doesn't give a shit.
He's not going to get fired. That's for sure.
That's right. Okay, now Mike's wife is a teacher. She's a high school teacher. All the kids hate her. Now, that's only important because there's a scene in her classroom where we meet some of the students. In other words, hey, these people are going to be victims of some shit in Act 3. But you need to know them now.
Young people.
Right? The pothead with the cool car who almost ran down the almost homeless guy who was eaten by... Anyway, the guy from the very beginning of the movie. That guy. So many almosts in that sentence. I had to stop. So, pothead's got a cool car. He's easily 35 years old. And his silly chatterbox girlfriend, they're all just like, parents just don't understand. And impotent rebellion. They're just horrible, horrible teen stereotypes. And they're like at their local burger joint. And also, once again, the music in this movie is hot garbage.
Oh, that when they're pulling up to the diner or whatever, and it's like that, like, kind of rocky, kind of, like, drum. That is so, because of the previous scene, they're talking about, like, dead bodies and, like, how tragic it was that this old guy fucking died or wherever we're at in the movie. Like, it was something really serious. And then the music changeover to the next scene is, like, so misplaced and awkward. I'm big on the music in movies, so that made me mega cringe.
It's jarring. It really is.
It fucks with you.
One of the kids is of course, everyone's heard about old angry man being stripped of his flesh and his eyes were gone and all of that good stuff. Now, one of the kids is convinced that it was the goat killer.
Just an awesome subplot that they could have set up that goes nowhere. Like, that was one of my notes that I wrote down was about the goat killer, and then it goes fucking nowhere. It's like two kind of hilarious sentences about a guy that comes down from the woods and... like, kills people and eats their blood and kills their families or some hilarious teenage urban legend type shit. But, like, come on, I want to see the Goat Killer movie now.
Right.
I want it to tie the universes of Pieces to the universe of Slugs. I want a cinematic universe of Juan Picare Simone movies.
Yes, makes
but
sense.
But none of the other teenagers in the town know what the fuck she's talking about. So this really isn't an urban legend. She's just like, her older brother told her some shit when she was a kid to try to scare her. And she's held on to it ever since. A fucking goat killer. Like,
no, she's just crazy.
Is that what it is?
That's it. She's like, it's the goat killer. Had to be the goat killer. Everyone's like, okay, drink your juice, Shelby, because we don't know what the hell you're talking about. Again, it's got nothing to do with goats. He's just a cannibal. Just a cannibal. Listen
it makes
to how
no
my,
sense.
Oh, my
That's
God.
Why I love
my,
it.
My standards have changed so much. He's just a cannibal. Like, big deal. Okay.
Way big whoop.
Okay, now we set a couple of different things up here. There is an old couple, and they live in this house that has a greenhouse attached. And the old guy apparently loves plants so much that he put up a poster about an amaryllis on the door to his greenhouse.
Oh my god, this scene is fucking amazing.
Isn't it great? So his wife comes in, and she's wearing that crazy, like, you know, Ruth Gordon turban on her head. He's like, "There's slugs! There's slugs all over the plants on the front porch!" And he's this
dude. No, they're slug eggs, aren't they? She's like, "What the hell are these, Ethel?" Or, I mean, whatever the dude, George, whatever his fucking name is. He's like, "They're slugs' eggs, Ethel.
Get rid of them. Get rid of them."
I was confused as to whether he was the gardener or, like, the fucking husband of the house. And apparently he's the husband of the house.
He's both. He's being there. But what's best about that scene is he's just mumbling under his breath. He's like, "Shut the fuck up, old woman. God damn it. See, I got shit to do.
Ethel, I wish I would have drowned you in the river 35 years ago.
I just want to watch you bleed."
So, and who can blame him, really? I mean, she's horrible.
She's horrible.
Everyone is horrible. Everyone in this movie is horrible. Yep. Okay, so meanwhile, while you know, George is scraping slug eggs off of all the plants, we see the drunk woman from the restaurant, the one with the cocaine cheekbones, and she has come home from the grocery store. And again, this woman is easily 38, 39 years old, wearing a high school jacket that says cheerleader.
It's like, this is the kind of character you're dealing with.
We bet she's a nymphomaniac, but you're not going to see that in this film.
I think I wrote her down in my notes as coked out Kim Basinger.
That sounds right.
She kind of looks like Kim Basinger in fucking Batman.
Yeah.
She did a lot of cocaine.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, this woman has been to the store, and she's got some vegetables, and she just dumps out like this, like two or three heads of romaine lettuce, just dumps them into the sink, pours herself a glass of scotch, goes into the living room, turns on the TV, and drinks until she passes out.
Like you do.
Yeah. Right?
I've had days like that.
You're like, "Shit, I forgot about dinner in the fucking sink. I just got wasted and fell asleep on the couch."
Jesus. I was going to cook, but fucking John Wayne was on, and I had some J&B. It was all good. Problem with the romaine lettuce that she throws into the sink to rinse is that it's moving.
It's wriggling.
Yes. Kind of gyrating.
Masterful special effects. Yeah. Bates had to, like, poke it with his finger off camera.
So then we cut back to the old guy in the greenhouse, and he's trying to get rid of the slugs with, like, seven dust or something. And he puts on his work gloves, and he doesn't realize that there's a giant slug in his glove. And it starts biting him and eating his hand, and so he's yelling for the old woman who's in the house, and she's vacuuming and smoking at the same time.
Listening to jazz music really fucking loud.
Yeah, so she can't hear shit. The guy tries to cut the glove off with his shears. But he's freaked out by the pain. The slug is eating him. And then, because this man is an idiot.
He's one of the Three Stooges.
I guess I don't understand how greenhouses work.
That's a really shoddy, kind of shitty one. I mean, it's nice, but he's not keeping, like, he's keeping all of his combustibles on a rickety fucking shelf.
Exactly.
He just goes crashing into him with a fucking pair of shears up his gloves, probably stabbing him in the wrist. And, like, the shelf falls on top of him, the fucking greenhouse starts on fire, even though, well, like, it, yeah, there's probably like enough in there that stuff's not going to burn that well. You can't burn green very well. Like, there'd have to be, like, a bunch, like, a stack of dry pallets in the back of this fucking thing. Because it goes up like goddamn Chernobyl, like, real fast.
Oily rags. He's got oily rags stacked
up. He's got barrels of oily rags in the back of this thing.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, he's like fucked three ways, because he's pulled the plant rack over onto himself, and then he's knocked over some acid. He's got a slug eating his hand, so he decides to hack his hand off with a hatchet. Now, is this rational? I'm not sure, and it doesn't matter, because the acid catches fire, which ignites a full can of gas, and then the greenhouse explodes. And like you said, Mark, who's keeping acid and gasoline in their greenhouse?
Yeah. So was this pre or post Evil Dead 2?
Oh,
that's what the hand chopping scene reminded me of. This is like when, you know, you're in for like a whole different kind of movie is when a character has to lop one of their fucking limbs off, I think is a pretty good sign that you're in for a treat.
Yep. This is post Evil Dead 2, isn't it?
Sure, yeah. Is. By about
a couple years.
Three or four years.
Yeah.
Mike, who works for the city, and his high school teacher wife have slugs in their garden. And she's like, look how big these slugs are. And he's like, what? So he bends down, and of course he gets bitten by one of the slugs.
Because when I see something dangerous, my first instinct is to poke it with my finger.
Yeah, because he's like, these slugs are gigantic. This one's as big as a fucking calf's liver. Maybe I should just prod it.
Finger bang it here real quick and see what happens.
Well, you don't expect a fucking slug to have a mouthful of teeth like a goddamn alligator.
Well, no, but you don't, like, reach down to pet them like a fucking kitty or something, like...
That's true, too.
Goddamn slug, they're fucking gross. They leave a nasty fucking trail of mucus everywhere they go. Which is where he kind of puts it all together. He's like, my God, the fucking snail trails. It's actually slugs.
We go back to the drunk woman who wakes up from her scotch-induced afternoon coma. Oh, her husband's home. She forgot to make dinner. So she starts hacking through the lettuce. And of course, there's a big slug in the lettuce. And she doesn't notice.
Seeing the slug.
Just giant, bloody hunks of slug that she is creating as she cuts through the lettuce. And her husband comes in and she's like, oh, I thought we'd eat light tonight. Salad! And he's thinking, bitch, I wanted steak, but nope, you're drunk again. Too drunk to make me a goddamn steak.
He's like, thank God I didn't find her passed out on the couch, though. One more time and I was going to call a fucking divorce lawyer, but thank God she's up making a fucking salad that's full of fucking bug guts. It's a little salty.
He says that. Dinner was a little salty. Oh, it must have been the anchovies. Yeah, that's what it was.
Uh-huh.
Like who the fuck puts anchovies on a fucking salad?
Ew. Not me.
Not me. I don't put anchovies on goddamn anything.
Because anchovies are gross.
Fuck gross. Anchovies, and fuck you if you like anchovies. I've offended some anchovy aficionado in your fucking listener base. I apologize.
It's all right. The anchovians will come out, and I'll direct all of the complaints to you.
The views and opinions expressed by Fancy on the show are not necessarily those of Jeffrey or Cootie.
Okay, so Mike has gathered up some of these slugs that bit him. I think there's a Nine Inch Nails song there somewhere. Anyway, he and his wife go to the high school to talk to her science teacher friend. Now, he's English.
Sound English.
No. He sounds like he's English, but he also sounds like he's been taking a lot of downers.
Dr. Quaalude.
Right?
In England/Transylvania.
He talks really slowly. And the worst part is, he's the exposition machine here.
You want to deliver exposition by a guy on fucking Quaaludes with an accent.
Oh, I know all about slugs, I do.
I think I actually took a micro nap in a lot of the lab scenes of this movie.
I think that's fair.
Nodded off like a fucking the narcoleptic that I am.
Oh. So he tells everyone, you know, slugs are amazing. You can put slugs on the edge of a razor blade and they can crawl across it without ever touching it because of the slimy mucus.
Again, cool detail of this movie that never comes into play later.
Right.
I really wanted to see some slugs like crawling across like a Wes Craven style razor blade pit trap kind of deal. Didn't happen.
Oh. Yeah, the fucking razor wire room in Suspiria. Fill that with slugs while you're at it.
They could crawl right across it, according to this fucking limey fuck.
That's right. So the important thing here is normally slugs don't eat meat except for tiny worms and insects. So that's really the main piece of exposition that we're left to take away from this scene, which seems to go on for fucking ever.
Which is kind of pointless because we've seen like 37 minutes of this thing so far, and like they clearly eat meat. We know that. We just need our stupid fucking characters to understand these things, which is also a lot of like the second part of the third act of this movie is getting the characters to understand what's going on.
Yep. Now, Cocaine Kim Basinger, her husband is a real estate developer, and he ate that salad, and now he's having, like, stomach pain, says he doesn't feel all that
He's been
well.
Listening to too much of the cramps.
Oh! Yeah, and unfortunately he ate all that goo goo muck that was in the salad.
When the sun goes down and the moon comes up.
Yeah, and when the sun comes up the next day, he's got a meeting. It's a big lunch meeting with two investors, and they're going to build a shopping center. So he has to be on his game. Anyway, we cut away from him, and we go back to Cool Guy. And Cool Guy kind of looks like a mixture of Jeff Spicoli and kind of a wire-haired hound.
He reminded me of the fucking the headless doctor from Reanimator that looks a little bit like John Kerry if he was like shorter and sold a lot of blow.
Oh my god.
That's what fuck he reminded me of. Blow John Kerry.
So anyway, in this scene, this is great because he's sitting in his car and he's all kind of slumped down behind his cool steering wheel, and he's drinking some cool vodka, sitting in the shadows, looking like Sammy Hagar, and he's watching his girlfriend's house. And when his girlfriend's parents leave, the porch light goes on. You know what that means. It's time for illicit teenage sex.
Your daughter's about to awkwardly lose her virginity to some scumbag and future felon.
That's right.
He's gonna pilfer your liquor cabinet, the biggest dick move of all.
Right?
I'm gonna bang your daughter. Hey, is that Captain Morgan?
Stay the fuck out of my booze, kid.
Actually, he says it's that Captain Jack, which cracks me up because, you know, that's an old Billy Joel song. And why would you want that on your...
Now that's like two different kinds of booze combined, but you don't want to combine.
So he goes in, he immediately like just slams this chick up against the wall, and they go downstairs to the rec room. I haven't been in a rec room in a long time, but there's a bar, and there's booze, and there's like pictures of her parents with various mob figures hanging on the wall, and her small breasts and gigantic ribs.
Yeah.
He's cool guys drinking daddy's booze. Meanwhile, the girlfriend's laying on the bar like it's the Amazing Baker Brothers with no piano. And she's like rubbing her ribs because, you know, she's not sure where her nipples are. And of course, we cut away from that because science guy, the English guy, he's at the school late like fucking Glenn Plummer in Gremlins. He's doing research on the giant slugs that Mike brought him, and he cuts one of them in half, and that's gross. I just gotta say, out of all the gross scenes in this movie, and there are plenty, I was just gonna like, that looked real. So he cuts one of the slugs in half and puts the slime under the microscope. Now, while he's not watching, another slug crawls out of a mason jar and eats a guinea pig, goes right into the cage and eats a guinea pig. And, you know, it's just like, oh, Fluffy. The freshmen will be so disappointed that their class pet is dead.
Princess Piddles.
Right?
That was like the one part of this movie where I'm like, I can't really recommend this to just anybody because I know people that would be horribly offended by the perceived animal violence, which it was it a guinea pig or a hamster?
I think it was a hamster, yeah.
I can't tell the difference.
It looked like it was having no fun whatsoever shooting this scene where it's got a fake slug tied to its fucking back and a bunch of ketchup all over its face. It was having no fun. Like where the fuck was the hamster union for this shit?
It was a sincere panic. It really was.
Yeah, I can't really recommend movies that have animal violence to just anybody. That's something that bothers a lot of people. So yeah, if that's not your thing, skip this scene.
Yeah, just fast forward a bit.
All right. Also, if you're a member of the Hamster Pig Coalition, you can send those complaints in to me because I was just like, that's not real.
It's not real, but
give a shit. Whatever. I've seen him eat sea turtles in movies before. This is nothing.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so Fluffy the hamster pig is dead. Meanwhile, Cool Guy is banging the shit out of his girlfriend, apparently in her parents' room. And I guess that's why he doesn't notice all these slugs that are climbing out of the toilet and onto the floor.
There's already a lot of squishy sounds going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can't anyway. Hear the Foley artist, like, squeezing a sponge full of fucking shampoo or whatever that sound is.
So, yeah, anyway, cool guy apparently comes way too fast. Because his girlfriend is like, what are you doing? What? And he's reaching over and he grabs a bottle of booze and drains it. And he's just like, I gotta recharge my batteries! And let's face it, if you're in that spot already, the whiskey is not going to help you.
No, has he not heard the phrase whiskey dick?
No.
But I mean, let's face it, you've either been that guy or you've been with that guy.
That's true.
Or the female version of that guy.
I always wondered why, you know, and they call them hoe bags. I don't know if I appreciate or understand that term, but if you're going to pack a hoe bag, shouldn't you put Gatorade in it just in case? That would have been a far wiser choice than Captain Jack.
Dehydration is a serious matter.
It truly is.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he's drinking, and then he tries to get out of bed. I guess he's going to take a, you know, the premature ejaculation piss. I don't know what that is. Slips on the floor, and a slug is burrowing its way into his foot. And he's trying to pull it out, which, you know, he didn't pull out before. Don't know why he thinks it's going to help now. Thank you. So he's trying to get out, and he's screaming. So the girl freaks out. She's screaming. She gets out of bed, and she slips on the floor and just fucking face plants into a pile of slugs. And they eat her alive. They're burrowing through her nubile A-cup nudity. And her boyfriend only barely tries to rescue her. It's like, oh, take my hand.
He makes a fucking straight line for the window. He doesn't even fucking bother with her. Like, within a couple of shots, her, like, eyeballs are gone and shit. And she's like the fucking chicken the raft sequence from Creepshow 2. She's like, help me! And he's like, fuck you, I'm out. And he doesn't quite make it either. This scene is gloriously fucking gross.
It is.
This scene.
The mega effects of this scene are out of fucking control. And I really honestly do love, like, the mostly eaten skeletal corpse, like, wriggling worm. It's very Fulci, the fucking slugs inside just writhing around. And this is kind of this movie. If they fucked this up, this movie would not have been nearly as good. But the practical effects in this movie are stellar.
They are stellar, and we watch so much shit. Oh my god, we watch so much shit. And I lose track of what the fuck I've seen already just by the movie title. Most of the time, I have no idea. So when he was like, we're gonna cover slugs for this episode, I was like, have I seen slugs? And all he had to do was start describing this scene, and I was like, oh, I fucking love that movie. It's so terrible. So yes, this scene, fucking amazing. It makes it for me for the entire movie. This scene is worth it.
Girlfriend's getting her soft parts eaten, and not in that, you know, sexy, spanky way.
Not in a good way.
No. And her boyfriend's really a stand-up guy until he falls down, and I guess, I don't know, the slugs eat his dick off, probably. That's okay. Wasn't as cool as he thought he was. So the next morning, we get this great, I'm not even sure if it's a montage, but it's Mike. He's sitting in his office smoking, and he's just thinking and trying to figure everything out. So it's kind of like, oh, I'm thinking about a slug. Oh, I'm thinking about a hamburger. And now I'm thinking about this map over here on the wall. I'm going to figure all this out. I'm thinking about that slug that bit me. And now I'm thinking about a spy who loved me. And just it's just a horrible, terrible, shitty thing. And he's like, you know, poisons don't work. And it is only at this point, I swear, we're like 45 minutes into the movie, that someone says, hey, have you tried salt?
And that's his wife.
Wouldn't that be your first fucking thought? Hey, slugs and salt don't go well together. Maybe you should just pour some salt on these fuckers.
And yet they don't do it.
They don't do it! And it took them forever to think of it! Ugh.
Like, anyway, doy.
Right? So anyway, the real estate guy wakes up, and he still looks like Dario Argento, and he still feels like shit, but he's got a meeting to go to, so off he trundles himself. Meanwhile, Mike has to meet the sheriff at the teenage sex death scene, and That's when Mike presents the killer slug theory, and of course the sheriff doesn't buy it, and he kicks Mike out. Let me do my job, will ya? Just terrible sheriffy things.
He has that great line to the guy that's he's like holding a bag of evidence or taking pictures or something. He's like, "What the fuck are you looking at? Don't fucking look at me." He's just the meanest goddamn sheriff. Like, it's fucking great.
He's so grouchy.
He's so grouchy. He hasn't had his coffee or his donuts that morning.
Yeah.
It's like he's channeling Harvey Keitel. It's like fucking Bad Lieutenant ended up in this tiny Canadian town that's being attacked by slugs.
I'm gonna grab a soundbite of his what the fuck are you looking at? It's probably the greatest line in this movie. It's so fucking. He's just such an ass. He's not even acting, I don't think. I think this guy's really a fucking asshole. So genuine.
So here's where we kind of figure out why the slugs have lost their little sluggy minds. Don insists that Mike come and see him. Don, who's the sewer guy who's married to, you know, Grandma Moses.
Grandma Francois.
Right. He's found half-eaten animals, even a large dog down in the sewer. And he looked at some old maps and realized that there's a part of the sewer that used to be a toxic waste dump back in the 50s. They filled it in with concrete, I guess, but it's still toxic as hell. Now, this is important as far as the whole deal with the shopping center goes, because they want to build the shopping center right on top of the old toxic waste dump. But speaking of the shopping mall, we're at the lunch meeting now. Our real estate guy is meeting with the investors about the shopping center, but he doesn't feel real well at the table, so he excuses himself to the posh men's room with the stick-on vinyl sheeting that's supposed to look like marble tile on the wall. And they're at an Italian restaurant, which is even better, so his nose starts bleeding while he's in the restroom, which is, you know, not a good look when you're trying to pitch a multi-million dollar project.
When you've probably been doing a lot of cocaine off camera.
Right. Which you got from your on-camera wife.
Cocaine Kim Basinger.
That's right. So he goes back to the table. He's like, "I'm fine. I just, you know, I just, my septum's deviated. But beyond that, everything's cool." So, hooray, his investors are going to go full ahead with the project, and there's Italian food coming to the table, and he's like, "Let's propose a toast." But as he's, it's like a horribly lame-ass toast, like, "Hey, here's to,
the future, and what it holds.
The future, and property, and here, shopping." It's just terrible. Like, he really should have planned ahead for that one. But while he's drinking, and it's white wine, so I guess, I don't know, or having Italian seafood, but while he's drinking, blood starts pouring out of his mouth into the glass of wine.
Oh, great.
And it's so fucking gross. And then he just begins bleeding from every visible orifice, and he convulses, and he falls down on the floor, and his eyes explode. And when his eyes explode, worms come out.
It's amazing.
So
it's
beautiful.
So great.
Holy shit.
It doesn't make any sense, but it's awesome.
They kind of half-ass explain it later, but it just looks so fucking cool. It like, just, you know, you don't even so care. You're like, this guy's head's fucking exploding in the middle of, like, a yuppie restaurant. It's
like, are those worms? Those fucking worms?
And he blew the meeting. They didn't sign the papers. He blew his fucking meeting because his head blew the fuck up.
Right. Also, and here's my question. Didn't his wife eat the slug salad, too?
Maybe. Maybe.
Why aren't her
booze food here?
She just drank. Because, you know, really, shouldn't her eyes also be bursting into nests of premium trout bait? I mean,
like, salad and, like, a gallon and a half of whiskey don't really go that well together.
That's true. Maybe the whiskey may have killed whatever slugs were inside of her, to be honest.
It's got salt in it, and we just don't know.
So Don and Mike realize that while the construction workers were breaking ground for the shopping mall that the bloody guy in the restaurant was leasing, they broke the seal over the old toxic waste, and who knows what poisonous gases have escaped. Enter Sheriff Asshole. And again, this is great. I don't know how the fuck this guy got through the academy. Because he thinks that the worms on the dead guy's face came from the kitchen of the restaurant.
Just ate a bad hamburger.
There are worms here. There's worms in the food.
He's like, I'm going to ruin your fucking business because I don't want to admit that it's fucking slugs in the sewer.
And it cracked me up because it made me think of the 1978 version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers where Donald Sutherland finds the rat turd. He's hole up in tweezers. Rat turd. Anyway, yeah, the sheriff is he's a real ace. So they scrape some worms off the dead guy's face, and they take them to Science Guy. Because why not?
Dr. Quaalude.
Yeah,
Dr.
Quaalude. Dr. Quaalude, Science Guy. Now, the worms are blood flukes, and they are parasites that are found in the bloodstreams of slugs. So we have carnivorous slugs. Their slime is an irritant that paralyzes and kills, and they're hermaphroditic, so they can go fuck themselves.
Hermaphro-what?
Right. Well, they reproduce asexually, so yeah, they can go fuck themselves and reproduce from that. So,
what
oh shit, they can't be stopped. And then after that, right after that, is one of the most nonsense scenes in the fucking movie, because they show some guy covered in blood. Obviously, he's been eaten from the inside out by the slugs and the blood flukes, and he's like lying on crates of produce. And they don't explain who it is. I have no idea who this fucking dead guy is in the produce section. And they don't tell us.
Rando farmer.
He's the guy that goes and rounds up all the fucking shopping carts at the grocery store where all this produce goes.
Bubbles. So there's your character development. And also, the music is hot garbage. The music sounds like the music from Airplane. It's so much like the music from Airplane, it's like they changed it just enough to not get sued. Meanwhile, slugs are crawling through the water faucets in Mike's house. So Mike, he realizes he needs to go up a little higher in local government, and he goes to see, for some fucking reason, the white-headed detective from Pieces.
It is him.
To get him to cut off the water in town out by the old toxic waste dump because of the mutated slugs. And, of course, the guy refuses, and this is another great line. He says, "You ain't got the authority to declare happy birthday in this town."
Thanks, chief, or...
Right?
It's like, I'm going to have your health inspector badged, Grabowski.
So Mike's like, fine, fuck it, whatever, and he leaves. But the old man, who's eating lunch during this entire meeting, has slugs kind of like banging on the inside of his toilet lid, so you know there's about to be a slug explosion. So Mike goes and interrupts a meeting with another realtor and the investors for the shopping mall. And he tries to get that guy to call the mayor to get him to shut the water off because of the slugs in the water. And he tells the investors all about the toxic waste and the mutant killer slugs. And the realtor's like, you know what? Fuck you. And he goes and he turns on a water tap and no slug comes out. So since no slug came out of that specific water faucet during this specific meeting, the investors are like, yeah, that sounds good. We're good. Let's do this. Sign that deal. Logic.
Kind of an interesting scene in the subtext of city government being super duper corrupt and just wanting them to sign the papers. It's a line that's said over and over in the sign the papers. And yeah, it's a little bit deep for a movie called Slugs the Movie.
So the white-headed guy's secretary comes back because she's just eating lunch. And of course, after that delicious burger, apparently I don't even know what role in government he plays. I just know, oh look, that's the guy from Pieces. So his office is empty, but that's because apparently he had to take a shit after eating lunch, and he's been eaten in the bathroom by ass slugs that came up out of the toilet.
Ass slugs. It's like the name of a thrash metal band.
Yes, they would open for Anal Cunt.
Oh, Anal Cunt. Oh, my favorite band.
Wow.
Not really.
So, Dr. Quaalude, the science guy, has developed this acid that can kill the slugs. It actually makes them explode. So, he and Mike hatch a plan so crazy, it just might work. They're going to pour the acid into the sewer system to kill those pesky mutant flesh-eating slugs. So why not pour it into sewer pipes filled with methane?
And he said really clearly, this makes them explode, which I'm sure this scene probably drives chemists crazy, because how an acid could cause enough of a combustion to make a living creature explode, not just like blow the fuck up or whatever, like violently fiery explosion type fucking Michael Bay shit. Like how that's possible physically is kind of a conundrum. But like, yeah, also the pipes are full of fucking methane. Are you out of your goddamn minds? You are going to blow up the whole fucking town. Do not try this at home. Like, there are weird gases that build up in the fucking sewer. Methane is one of them. You would have annihilated this entire fucking town if like their plan really would have gone how it plays out and how they explain.
So then we get this weird kind of character development section, but it's between Don, the guy who's not Mike, it's between Don and his grandma wife, Maria, which I guess go figure, because it's because heavy-handed foreshadowing might also kill slugs. I don't know.
But not salt.
Yeah, not salt. But he's like, I'm going to go kill some flesh-eating slugs. And she's like, are you sure that the slugs are not 18-year-old girls? I don't even know what the... I'm doing an accent. It may not be her accent, but it's a terrible scene. She can't look him in the eye. She's, like, staring right at his Adam's apple the whole time. And he's like, ho, Maria, baby. When I get back, we're going to get fucking crazy and naked.
We're going to get fucked up and fuck a lot.
And I'm thinking, if it's going to take her that long to get trussed up for that kind of action.
Right.
Anyway, Don's not going to live. I mean, you know that just from this scene. He's a good guy. He's maybe the only person in the movie who isn't a raging psychotic fucking asshole. So let's kill him. Of course, that's going to happen. Mike goes home to his wife, the schoolteacher wife, and says, I want you to pack your bags and go to your mother's place for a while. And this is a good idea, because there are slugs all over the fucking kitchen.
Got a bit of an infestation. They're going to have to call Riddex.
So then Mike and Don and Dr. Quaalude kind of meet up to carry out their courageously dumb plan, but there's a spanner in the works, because there's a bunch of kids at a Halloween party, and they're all out in the open, like in this field. They're exposed to moisture, which slugs love, so you know, they may not be safe.
Lamest fucking high school party ever. It's a bunch of trucks parked around in a circle and a bunch of underage kids getting drunk.
It's literally a Tim McGraw song.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a Tim McGraw music video. Minus the slugs.
I wish there were more slugs in Tim McGraw videos. I might watch them.
Right, too. His music videos need more exploding worm skull faces.
Yeah, dude.
Agreed. So the prude girl, the one who believes in the goat killer, she's there. And she's with these horrible, just, you know, walking hormone boys. She doesn't want pizza or beer or sex, so she might already be infected. I'm just saying.
I mean, she's a goat girl. She's into kissing goats.
Right. Do
you see what I did there?
I did. I love it.
Clever lad. So, since she doesn't want sex or pizza or beer, and her boyfriend wants to give her all three of those things, but maybe not in that order... She runs away from him and another kid with a fantastic mullet. He's got that rare curly mullet.
He's like Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw, the Next Generation. It's a mega mullet. It's king mullet.
So this kid has been watching the whole time, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to put on a Halloween mask and go rape that bitch.
Yeah, this is the other part where I can't really recommend this movie. I have a code word with a friend of mine who, like, his wife doesn't like to hear the R word in her house. So when this kind of thing comes up in a movie, we call it greasy. This movie gets a little greasy at this point.
Mm-hmm. It's struggly.
It's definitely greasy. It's like, yeah. There's a couple shots where he's just like, yep, this is a rape scene.
Yeah, this is no dream. This is really happening.
Can't recommend this to mom.
So she runs away from this guy after she finally gets away from his rapey ass, and she hides in. It's not really a hatch. What is the word I'm looking for on that? Because
she falls in a fucking sewer hole. It's like a it's an open
sewer hole.
She walks right into the fucking sewer, and how the smell wasn't overpowering her to want to claw her way out of this fucking thing, I don't know. But it's an open fucking sewer line. OSHA violation number 56.
Well, she was a little panicked at this point, so I can't really fault her for, like, blindly running.
She falls right into it. There should have been cones and some fucking tape around that thing. Like, come on, guys. Somebody's going to get hurt.
She gets eaten. I mean, duh, because the fucking sewer and slug. Water, and that's a terrible place to hide, and you're stupid for going there. So, yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. Was she a virgin with good grades?
I think she probably, like, got diddled by one of the relatives at some point because she believes in the goat killer.
Ah, that'll do it.
Hashtag dark humor.
Yep. Mike and Don, the Everly brothers, are in the sewers, and they've tried to pinpoint where the main body of slugs is, and Dr. Quaalude's going to, quote, drop his stuff, end quote, down a manhole to...
He's gonna drop make them stuff down a manhole.
to make the slugs go splody. So
I've seen movies like that.
Dr. Quaalude unfortunately died of HIV.
More dark humor.
More dark humor.
So it took me a while to figure this out. Cootie had to explain this to me because my thought was if the science guy is gonna drop his stuff down the manhole and kill all the slugs, why the fuck are Mike and Don in the sewers?
They don't understand the concept of an explosion.
Oh, no. They're actually trying to bait the slugs to get them all in one place so they can guarantee that they'll kill them all with the explosion.
Well,
so
like, Dr. Quillen's up on the surface trying to get the fucking manhole cover off with, like, a pickaxe. Some horribly misplaced tool.
So ineffectual.
And, like, the sheriff shows up. He's like, what in the goddamn hell are you doing, you stupid fucking limey bastard? And
if you're a science guy, why don't you understand simple physics?
Yeah, why can't you get
leverage
the fucking manhole cover off like a man?
So Mike and Don have bait in the sewers, and they've also, I remember them saying this later, that they were going to push any slugs to try to escape back into the acid. So it's like slug curling.
Yeah.
They got the brooms and shit.
Yep, exactly how that works. While they're down there, Don, fucking idiot, gets another goddamn bright idea. He's like, I'm going to do this. This will be great. He uses a blowtorch to burn through an electrical cable to electrocute some of the slugs.
Like you do.
They would have blown the fuck up the minute that thing started up. The minute that torch
minute that
is
thing
lit.
Arced.
The minute yep. They don't understand the concept of gas or explosions. It's all around you, much like surround sound.
In the movie, though, I guess it works because there's this blue animated lightning, like, it looks like Crawl, but it starts spreading through the slugs.
Very Return of the Living Dead Part 2.
It is. And the slugs start moving faster. There's like, I don't know, that confused me. It's like, oh, the slugs are being electrocuted, so why are they rushing towards the electricity? They were just like a waterfall of slugs. It was bizarre. Meanwhile, the sewers have turned into the fucking Temple of Doom. There's like hidden walls and bubbling vats of water and toxic waste. And they throw
that
some
big
bait
ass
into...
rolling ball.
right? Kate Capshaw's down there, I think. They throw some bait into the central area, and the central area is... Centralia, I don't know. But it's right below the manhole cover where Science Guy is going to drop his stuff, right? But of course, as we know, Science Guy can't take the manhole cover off to drop his stuff, so... I don't know, blue balls, maybe?
Take it like a man!
Take it like a champ, baby! Mike and Don go to an alternate exit, which is always a terrible idea. And then when Don opens up that alternate exit, he gets washed by a tremendous torrent of water into the pit of slugs. I told you he wasn't going to live, and I fucking meant it. He's not going home to his kids and Abuelita, so I guess it's good that they had that tender moment before he left, you know? And then for some reason, Sheriff gets friendly and helps Dr. Quaalude remove the manhole cover, so he drops the stuff onto the slugs. And this is our big climactic moment, because it blows manhole covers into the air all over town, and storefronts catch fire, and schools explode, and all the cars at the kids' Halloween party blow up, and the whole fucking town just about gets wiped off the map, which is exactly what Fancy said would happen in real life.
Yep.
But it, so, oh well, I mean, Don's dead, the slugs are dead, and everyone who managed to live through the entire movie survived, except, in classic 80s fashion, well, fuck me in the teeth, there's one slug left that didn't die, holy fucking shit, goddamn, the end.
There's always one slug left.
There's always one slug left.
For Slugs 2, the sequel.
The movie sequel.
The movie, the sequel.
Well, that was a movie. We'll be back in a moment with some final thoughts on Slugs.
Bad movies. The world is full of them. From low-budget crap fests to downright unwatchable. And only two men are willing to watch them all. So climb in and take your seat. This is Short Bus Cinema.
Let's do it.
Hey everyone, this is Johnny Krug from Kruger Nation.
And this is Rick Morgan from the Hell Ming Power Hour.
And we have decided to team up and take you where no one has gone before.
We're on a quest to find the world's worst movie, and we're doing it on the bus.
Driving through cult classics in every genre to find the holy grail of bad movies.
So if you're looking for something different and more fun than you can stand, then climb on in.
Short Bus Cinema is a proud member of Legion Podcasts.
That's right, yo!
Short Bus Cinema. We love to watch the movies you hate.
All right. Well, anybody got any final thoughts on this amazing, glorious train wreck of a film that we just broke down in really gruesome details?
You know, when we talk about movies like this, it's one thing to say, oh, this part's dumb, this part's stupid, this part doesn't make a bit of Christing sense. But, you know, that's the reason that we love movies like this. It's not like we're slamming this movie and saying this should never have been made. It absolutely should have been made. It's horrible, but that's why we love it.
Right on.
You know? So, it's not like, I don't know, I just kind of feel like we're not trying to trash the movie, even though we totally just did. You should still fucking watch it, except, you know, for the animal abuse and the rape. Beyond that, it's a pretty fun movie.
The payoff for this movie is amazing. So, yeah, I mean, you can wade through the really horrible acting and the nonsensical storyline just for the special effects, like Mark said, and the fact that it's just so god-awful. Just, it's fun. It really is an amazing piece of shit.
One thing I learned from this movie is that apparently the Ninja Turtles don't really come from the sewers, but a lot of methane gas and exploding fucking slugs do. I think this is honestly one of the better, like, nature run amok movies. This movie really gets why those kind of movies work, and apparently this is really, really loosely based on a novel that I think probably did a better job of making something like fucking meat-eating exploding slugs like scary, this movie gets a lot of the tropes of a nature run amok movie right. Like, you got the really stupid fucking humans, you've got the totally implausible thing that's killing everybody, in this case slugs. Like, in some movies it's like a orca whale and or like plants or other dumb shit, but Yeah. Why the fuck didn't they use salt, though? Does this take place in the same universe as Horror Party Beach, where they kill the monsters with sodium? You should just keep these things stocked up in your house at all times, and you'll probably be okay. I mean, just keep a fucking bucket of salt. If you live in any part of the country or the world where it gets real fucking cold, you probably have some salt laying around to, you know, fucking de-ice your driveway and all that shit. So you're probably good. I mean, slugs aren't really something you gotta worry about. Just don't go down in the fucking sewer, like, without your respirator and start lighting electrical cables on fire with a fucking torch. That's probably dumb.
And don't keep your garbage in your basement.
And don't be a fucking coked out whore like Cocaine Kim Basinger or a doped out fucking British guy like Dr. Quaalude. Just if you're that guy, just don't.
And don't be mean to your dog.
Yeah, fuck you if you're mean to your dog. You can fucking get eaten by a slug or just choke on a bag of dicks. I don't give a fuck. Don't be mean to dogs. Or cats.
There you go. Or cats.
Guinea pigs, hamsters, I don't give a fuck.
All right. Well, Mark, thank you so much for being on the show with us tonight. Before we return you to the general population, why don't you take a minute and tell us where we can find you online and all about your show and stuff.
My show is called Fancy and Friends. There is a Facebook group, just search in under groups, Fancy and Friends podcast. We're on SoundCloud, we're on iTunes, although I hear SoundCloud's probably about to take a mega shit, so we'll probably be migrating over to like YouTube and iTunes and try and get some stuff on Stitcher. But look around there and go join the Midnight Horror Show Facebook group. It's a little bit slow at the moment, but there's talks of getting that fired up again. You can still find some of the back episodes on Podomatic and iTunes. The Midnight Horror Show was my gateway drug into podcasting. It's been going on for 8 or 9 years now or something like that, on and off. So if you dig deep on that show, it goes way back, and I've had a little bit of part in that, and I'm super fucking proud of that, even though it's a trashy, horrible, disgusting, offensive, totally degenerate fucking podcast. Go check it out. I was on a whole bunch of them.
Nice.
Hey, Mark, what's that shoe do you wear?
12?
Just curious. I had some extra feet laying around. No big. Just fun to know. All right. Thanks, Mark, for being on the show. We appreciate it greatly.
Slugs!
Slugs. And hey, guys, if you're listening on iTunes, do us a favor and leave us a review, because we're relatively new on the block and we really could use the indecent exposure.
Indecent what?
Did I stutter?
Thanks for listening, everybody. On behalf of our guest, Mark Ball, and my co-host, Cootie, my name is X, and we'll see you next time at the bottom of the food chain.